All right, 41 days out of a general election, a very important one in the state of New York. My next guest is hoping for a post as far as the state senatorial representing the 3rd District. His name is Dean Murray. Many are familiar with the former assemblyman, and always great to get him on the program. And it is a very good morning to you, sir, on a Wednesday. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. You're making the rounds, the campaign, 41 days. You know, you can kind of feel it now. You feel it in your bones as we close out September. It's going to get hot and heavy. Let's tell the folks exactly what's going on. A lot of redistricting going on in these things. You need a scorecard. I got one right in front of me as far as the changing of the guard and whatnot with candidates left and right. Give me an idea why Dean Murray decided to get back into this thing.
Well, Jay, you bring up a great point. This has been a crazy year with the redistricting. Every 10 years after the census, the redistricting is done and shifts the different districts. And this year, going to court and changing 2 and 3 times, it has just confused a lot of people. I still have, to this day, people coming up to me asking me, if are you running against Monica again? And that's in reference to Monica Martinez. And the answer is no. I'm running in the 3rd District, where currently Senator Alexis Weick is the senator. However, with the shifts in districts, Alexis Weick will now be the senator in the 8th District, just to the west. And now the 3rd District is what I'm running for, and Monica Martinez is running against Wendy Rodriguez in the 4th Senate District. So it does get confusing. You definitely do need a scorecard. But why I got back in was very simple. Everyone I'm talking to, and I mean, Jay, everyone, not just Republicans or conservatives, but independents, even Democrats, are saying, we've had enough. We've had enough. This is craziness with the things that are coming out of Albany, whether it's the pro-criminal, anti-law enforcement policies that are making it dangerous, or just our economy, the taxes, the fees. We just can't afford it. Too many people have for sale signs, too many U-Hauls heading out of New York State and not coming back. We must have change, and we must have it now.
You know, you bring up everything regarding the changing of the guard. I call it musical senators, musical chairs. You know, you bring up the 8th. That was John Brooks. My goodness. He goes into the 5th against Steve Rhodes. We had them both
right on.
You know, it's interesting. I had Brooks on the show, Senator Brooks on the show on Friday. He said some interesting things. And I kept him on a little bit longer because, you know, probably the number one thing right at the top of the list is crime and safety and everything else. And that's where I believe those who are on the side of not keeping the streets safe are going to take a hit here. And there's some backtracking going on. If you heard the interview I did with Brooks, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Conflict of interest, bail reform, you know, there's catch and release. There's, you know, all kinds of stuff regarding clean the slate, raise the age. And if you're on for this, well, how are you against that? And, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's like playing both sides of the fence. And you know, I still think that's going to be a very key issue. And you look at some of the stuff going on right now, a woman attacked in a subway the other day, just pummeled by some maniac, no cops in sight. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on with these instances, and I think it's at the top of the list for a lot of folks.
And you're right, and that's what I'm hearing at the doors. Now, I did hear that interview, and by the way, the poor woman that was just attacked, there's a chance she might actually lose her eye as a result of that attack. That's how bad it was. I did hear the interview, and I've heard it over and over again, the backtracking from suburban Democrats who were there for these votes, and instead of standing up for the suburbs, they went right along to get along with their leadership. Most of the leadership, Jay, and most of the policies are coming out of New York City. And you know, you're not elected by New York City residents if you're on Long Island. You're representing Long Islanders. Upstate, you're representing the folks from upstate, not the city. So your job is to do what is best for your constituents, period. And none of this was good for Long Island. So the problem was none of the existing senators in there, the Democrat assistant senators, stood up against their leadership and said, no, this is not good for my district or the people I represent. And so we're stuck with things. And Jay, you see these news stories coming out saying, oh, you know, the bail reform, the stats, it's not that bad. Yes, it is that bad. It is definitely that bad. First off, they're skewing the numbers by just counting the number of criminals, not the number of crimes. So if one criminal is released and then goes and commits six more crimes, we now have six more crime victims as a result of that terrible policy. So they're not calculating it properly to make it sound better. But if you actually take the time to talk to law enforcement, which I have, and I want to hear from them how they feel about it, they say, yeah, the cashless bail is terrible. But another bill that's terrible was Raise the Age, which raised the age of criminal responsibility up to 18. So 16 and 17-year-olds are now just treated in family court if they're doing terrible crimes, and they don't have the consequences that you would in criminal court. And what has happened as a result? And I've talked to, again, the inspector out in the 7th Precinct told me, we're seeing more guns in the hands of kids, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, than we've ever seen before as a result of that policy. So these policies, Jay, are dangerous. They're not just bad. They are dangerous and must be stopped.
Especially, you know, I look at recidivism rates and those rearrested. And, you know, you get two sides here. You know, you get one side that says, it's just single digits, low single digits. You know, they can injure Stuart Cousins, which is ridiculous. And then you get the other side, which is true. You know, if you listen to a guy like Jim Quinn, I have a lot of respect for Jim, worked in the DA office in Queens 40 years. You know, he'll tell you quite differently. He's like 40-something percent. I mean, that's, you see, in contrast, that's the problem here, because if you can't incarcerate people the right way, if you can't use the word dangerousness, if you can't let a judge do his or her job, you have nothing. This is the biggest problem right now. And, you know, everybody says we got to fix it. You can't fix it because you can't have the people who are writing these bills, putting these into law, these things into law, they're not changing. They're not changing policy. But you have a chance to change individual as far as the policy, the way of thinking. See, that's the biggest thing.
Well, Jay, you bring up, again, a good point in the fact that when you're writing these bills, and I did listen to your interview with Senator Brooks and was shocked by one of the answers, well, several answers, but one in particular was when he said, well, you know, you can't wait for the perfect bill to be, you know, because you asked him, why did you vote for it a second time when it was bad the first time? And he said, well, it was a little better than the first one. Well, no, that's not your job. Maybe you're not understanding your job description. Your job description is to go up and vote on the best bills possible, the right bills. Your job is to do it right the first time. And the way you do that, Jay, is you meet with all of the interested parties, meaning you sit down with the DA's office, you sit down with the prosecutors, you sit down with the defense counsel, you sit down with law enforcement, and you get their input. You talk to the judges, and you say, what are the consequences if we pass this? If they had done that, perhaps they could have seen all of these problems and fixed them prior to making it more dangerous. So no, Senator, your job is to do it right the first time for the people you represent, and you failed not once, but twice. So what we have to do now is scrap the entire cashless bail system and start over, this time doing it properly. Because, Jay, listen, everyone agrees with what the initial intent of that law was, and what they were trying to say was, if you have a teenager, a kid, who shoplifts some sneakers, they shouldn't be sitting in Rikers for a year because they can't afford $5,000 in bail. I get that. I don't want that either. But as you said, in order to do that properly, you must give the judges the discretion to decipher between who is dangerous, who is not dangerous to society. You must let them look at their previous records to see, is this somebody who's doing it over and over and over again? Are they going to do it again when I let them out? Or is this a one-time thing? They must have that discretion. And the people writing these must do it right before you vote yes.
Vying for a spot in the state senatorial, the 3rd District, ladies and gentlemen, with the general election coming into play in 41 days. Dean, you have other things on the agenda as well that a lot of people are looking at. That's the economy. So many people are exiting this. They can't afford it here. Taxes through the roof, $220 billion budget, in play. I mean, come on. I mean, it's completely off the charts right now. And it's about trying to rope in the spending here, and it doesn't seem to be that way. We see that on the national stage. You're looking at it here in the state here. How do you kind of keep people in play to being able to afford to live here? You know, because I know a lot of people who have made their way out of here, they just can't do it anymore. They can't do it, and they don't see any light at the end of a tunnel.
And that's exactly, we lead the nation in out-migration and the number of people that are going out and not coming back. And when that happens, much of our next generation is also leaving for greener pastures. So a couple of things we need to do. First, stop spending like drunken sailors. We have a budget. We are the fourth most populous state in the nation. Above us is Florida, 2 million more people, and Texas, and then California. Our budget is $220+ billion. If you add the budgets of Florida and Tether, they do not equal our budget. What does that tell you? We are spending way too much. The answer for the leaders in Albany right now and the leaders in Washington right now is, oh, it's broken? Here's a check. Let's just write a check. Let's spend more money instead of actually fixing problems. You want to cut down on what we're spending? How about this? How about we don't hand out checks up to $15,000 each to illegal immigrants, to people who've come here illegally? We literally wrote out checks and just handed it to them, no questions asked, as a part of a fund because they felt bad because they were left out of the COVID process where they were helping with unemployment with those who are business owners and the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Fund. They felt bad, so they said, well, we're gonna go ahead and give it to them too. To the tune of, Jay, billions of dollars of our tax dollars. We can't afford it. It's that simple. But we also can't afford to continue to reward illegal activity. So when we continue to hand things out and give it away for free and then wonder why it doesn't stop, well, again, that's the definition of insanity. So that needs to change, period. We need to start spending money where we get a return on investment, like infrastructure projects. Finally, the LIE, we can finally drive on it. But again, when you look at it and you delve deep in where we're spending the money, there's a fund called the Road and Bridge Repair Trust Fund. The money is set aside. It's specifically for road and bridge repair projects. When Thomas DiNapoli, the comptroller, took an audit into this budget, into this fund, he found that only 17 cents of every dollar was actually going to repair the roads. They were basically raiding that fund and spending it again wherever they wanted to. That needs to stop. Spend the money for what the money is for. We count on government to keep us safe and protect us, to make sure we're picking up our garbage and where the roads are kept in good shape and in good repair. They're basic things that we want from government that aren't happening, and yet they continue to ask for our money to pay for the things that aren't happening. That needs to stop. We need to tighten our belt and stop hitting the taxpayers. They have another tax they're proposing with this congestion pricing. And again, it's targeting the suburbs. You want to go into the city, you're going to pay. Whether you work there, whether you're delivering goods there, it doesn't matter. You're going to pay. They have to stop looking at us as Albany's piggy bank.
Dean Murray with us. You know, I said this yesterday in the fact that if you look at the unemployment rate in New York, which is about 4.7%, that's a point higher, by the way, folks, than the national average. And you look at the city, they're at 6.6%. And you look at how the state is spending more money, even as a recession in play here. I mean, you know, it's tough. More taxpayer money. And you look at the platform, and it's about historic investments in advancing New York's economy recovery. That's really what it's all about. But, man, I'll tell you, you know, I remember way back when we used to be able to create a job-friendly environment to attract businesses, to employ people here. I mean, not a word on that anymore, and that used to be the mantra of the state going way back in time, you know?
No, it's the exact opposite now. We are the most business-unfriendly state in the union, another list that we don't want to be on the top of. And the problem here, Jay, is also, you know, we're spending all this money all over the place. But are we investing more in things like CTE and BOCES programs? Are we spending more to train the kids who maybe don't want to go on to college or can't go on to college? Not everyone needs to go to college. Right now, we have an abundance of kids getting out of college with debt and holding a sheepskin that is not doing them any good. So we need to start investing more in actual career training so that these kids can get out of school and have a good paying job right here on Long Island. Do you know we have over 3,000 manufacturing companies on Long Island? Their number one problem is not taxes, not the roads, not the number one problem. They cannot find qualified workers or properly trained workers. They just can't. If we would invest more in CTE and BOCES and training and apprenticeship programs, and then ensure that when we're doing these projects, these infrastructure repair projects and things like this, that we're hiring local labor, that we're hiring New Yorkers and putting money in their pockets through their paychecks, that's how we're going to start turning the economy around and investing in our future. So these are simple things, Jay, that need to be done, but they're not being done. You say the business environment. Do you know that because of the pandemic, we're one of only seven states that did not pay back the federal government the hundreds of millions of dollars, in fact, billions of dollars, that we had to borrow from them to cover unemployment? We didn't pay it back. So you know what's happening? The state doesn't get hit. Every business in New York is now getting hit with the unemployment insurance assessment surcharge. And they all got hit this month, was when it was due. They had to write out another check to pay for the bungling in Albany because they didn't use the extra money they had from the feds to pay off our debt. Instead, they're turning to the businesses and putting it on our backs, and that is just wrong. Another example of how New York is not business friendly. These are simple things, Jay, that we can change, we can fix, but it's not being done.
And I'll tell you another thing that's not getting done, and that is, you know, I'm very concerned regarding the schools, because if you look at the investment in New York's public schools, which somewhere is in the area of an additional, folks, $2 billion plus, okay, and with that money, you know, you're going to have increasing the number of teachers, bus drivers, support staff, and everything else. Well, great. Schools are already well-funded, in my estimation. I mean, they are. You know, it's something like $24,000 per student. That's what it comes down. That's the highest in the nation, folks, okay? And that's nearly twice the national average. Think about it. The national average is about $12,000. We're doing $24,000 per pupil here. And you wonder, where are the results, you know, as far as the testing and everything else, proficiency? I don't see it. So you have an example here of money not being put in place the right way as far as the education system. This is not being talked about at all, you know. Nothing about this.
No, you're right, and the per-pupil student spending, we're second only to Washington, D.C. You're right, the highest in the nation. So again, that's something where we have to look at, and we have to say, you know, what is going right, what is going wrong? And again, look at what we do in a business. If you would look at, say you're a business, a Target or a Walmart, and you're looking at all your stores, and you see one store that's doing fantastic, and then another store that's not doing well, what would you do? You would evaluate, what practices are they doing? What are they doing right that maybe they aren't doing? We have to have a lot more collaboration in the education system to discuss, what are you doing right? What's working for you and what's not working over here? And fix it. You know, put the effort in. But again, you can't just throw money at the problem. And that's how we end up being the second highest in the nation, second only to D.C. in per-pupil spending. But I will say this too, Jay. We are blessed here on Long Island. We have some of the best teachers in the world here in Long Island. We really do. But again, we've got to focus in on how the money's being spent. We have 124 different school districts on Long Island alone. New York State has over 700 school districts. That's a lot. So that is something that definitely needs to be looked at. But I'll give you a little nugget here, if we can wrap it all together again, going back to the original issue we were talking about, which was crime. The Clean Slate bill that's being proposed, which would wipe out a criminal's record if they were good for a certain number of years after being released. So somebody like a Colin Ferguson or Joel Rifkin or Son of Sam could literally be released and they would have no record after a certain part of time. Well, that also applied to some school positions. And the teachers union actually stepped in and said, wait a minute, time out. Are you telling me that we can end up unknowingly hiring a school bus driver or janitor or someone in our school system that could have a record of hurting children? No, no, no. So that's the only reason the Clean Slate Bill did not pass this past session. So that's another thing we need to go up there and take a look at and make sure that does not happen. So, Jay, there are so many problems right now coming from Albany that we need to get up there and fix. It's mind-boggling.
One of the things Senator Brooks said he'd walk back to, we brought that up regarding, you know, how do you allow somebody who has a past record, I mean, maybe, you know, a child predator, and allow them to drive a school bus? What, are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? You see, it's a common sense factor that has been eliminated over the years.
But Jay, here's the nugget he didn't share. The nugget there was that that bill this past session, that actually passed the Senate. Senator Brooks voted for that bill. He said yes. You know, it was only the Assembly. When it went over to the Assembly, because any bill has to pass, the exact same bill has to pass both houses, then go to the governor for their signature. It passed the Senate and was sent to the Assembly. That's when the teachers' union caught wind and said, wait a minute, did you actually read this? We have a big problem. And that's when the Assembly pulled back at the very last minute and did not pass it. But it did pass the Senate, and Senator Brooks was one of the yes votes on that bill. Now, Jay, when you put together the fair and timely parole, which they're proposing, the elderly parole, which would basically say any prisoner, any crime, when you hit 55 years old, if you've served at least, I think it's 10 or 15 years, you're automatically up for parole. If you combine that with this clean slate bill, like I said, you could have a Colin Ferguson out on the streets and eventually no record of his crime. That is absurd. A Joel Rifkin, a Son of Sam, all of them released with no criminal record. That is crazy. There's no way we need more of that.
No, we've lost our way. You know, when we allow killers of cops to give dissertations at universities, that tells you something right then and there. I mean, my goodness.
It's worse. His partner, Herman Bell, I don't know if people are aware, Herman Bell was the other guy that helped to ambush those two city police officers and kill them. He, right now, currently, sits on a police review board. He literally sits on this review board to review police proposed or accused misconduct of police. He's the one sitting on that board. I can't even wrap my head around that one. How backwards that is. Someone who assassinated two police officers who were coming, thinking they were coming to rescue people in need, and he literally assassinated them. Then him and his partner flew across the country to California and killed another police officer. And then they get paroled, released, and he's serving on a police review board? I feel like I'm in bizarro world here. I don't get it. We've lost all common sense.
Listen, it's we've lost our way here. You know, the one-party rule has destroyed this nation. And look what's happened to the state, without question. I mean, you got to have sensible discussions. You have to. And that's why my discussion with Senator Brooks the other day, listen, at least the guy came on. At least we're having a discussion. And at least of note, the fact that mistakes were made and, you know, things have to be done differently. And that's what it's all about right now. It's about having a sensible discussion on all sides. And we're not seeing that.
I give them credit. I give them credit for coming out because many are dodging. I know they're dodging. They don't want to talk about the issues because they can't talk about the issues. Things like, I think you had brought up the SALT and the tax deduction. Did anyone actually stop and think? Everyone that is screaming and yelling about that is in the Democrat Party, screaming and yelling, saying, how dare they do this? But did you ever stop to think that every level of government that could fix it is currently one-party rule? In the federal government, we have a Democrat in the House, Democrat control of the Senate, Democrat control of the House. On the state level, we have a Democrat governor, Democrats in control of the Senate, Democrats in control of the Assembly. If it's so bad, rather than sitting there and pointing the fingers and blaming everyone, how about you fix it? There's a novel idea, but they don't want to fix it, Jay, because it takes away their complaining issue. So if they don't want to fix it, they want the issue politically. If they could, if they wanted to and actually wanted to fix the problem, they could do it tomorrow. They have control of all levels. Why not fix it?
The only way to fix it is November the 8th general election. That's where Dean Murray will be on that ballot, ladies and gentlemen. State senatorial in the 3rd, and you'll hear him again. Listen, we will follow your trek, sir, and we look forward to the next time of discussion. How's that?
Hey, Jay, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. God bless everyone.